Right, mic check.
Mic check.
Oh, it looks great.
Okay. Good.
So we're back. I know it's been a little bit of time, but we had stuff going on, y'all. I was out of the country.
I was recovering.
You were recovering from the flu, is it?
Flu, back, everything.
All that. Mm-hmm. So we're back and we're really excited to chat with each other and with y'all again. And we're starting off with a Reddit question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Reddit question that we found is from the subreddit workout, and the original poster says, "Why am I not losing weight?" That's the question she asked. And she goes further and says, "I don't really know anything about weight loss, but over the past several days, I've been walking over 10,000 steps each day and eating 1,000 to 1,500 calories, generally under the estimate of what I've burned. But I only seem to be slowly putting on weight. Sorry if this seems like a dumb question, but I'm no expert as to why that is. Is there something I'm doing wrong?" And she's female, 18, 5'4", and she weighs around 140 pounds.
Well, there's a lot to unpack with this one.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, 3 days.
Right. Like, that's not enough time, yeah. Homegirl. Like, so you need to give yourself at least 2 weeks to give your body time to adjust and respond to the changes that you're making. So, yeah, 3 days is not enough time.
No. Also, she doesn't, she gives us some information, but she doesn't really give us a lot of information. Mm-hmm. So she says that she's walking 10,000 steps a day for this new thing that she's implemented. And then she tells us how many calories she's eating. But there's no information about her past.
Right.
Like, what was she doing last week? Was she also, was she walking 8,000 steps and only went up like 2,000 this week? Or was she not walking at all? Like, we need to know more information to be able to figure out why she is not losing weight.
Yeah. And as far as the calories too, there's a lot of questions there. So are you just now starting to track calories? Are you eating the same as you were before? It's kind of hard to know like what is new in her workout. She's just kind of stating what she's doing.
Right.
And I'm also wondering, how does she know what she needs to eat? How does she know how many calories she should be eating, therefore how much less she should be eating? Yeah. And we're actually going to talk more about nutrition and that and how to figure out what calories and macros you should be eating later on. But it there's just not a lot of information to why she's not losing weight and to why she might be gaining weight. There's a lot of possibilities there too. Especially as a female, you have to consider hormonal changes. Where are you in your menstrual cycle? That's going to really indicate how your body is retaining water. So there's just a lot of things. Very and that's true. Why 3 days is not enough time.
Yeah. It's not really a good indication.
To figure that out. So she just probably needs to be a little patient.
Yeah. No, definitely patience. And I feel like patience can cause stress.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like she's kind of stressing out, wondering why nothing's happening, when sometimes you just really have to sit back and wait.
And stress
the good
affects,
things will come.
And stress affects your hormones. Hormones, again, play a huge factor in how your body's responding to these changes. Mm-hmm. So
this comment says, 500 calorie deficit is a good place to start, which I know you always say, because I hear you say that, but that would be a good thing for her to know, because I feel like that question almost just sounds like a whirlwind to me, where it's like 1,000, 1,500, like 10,000 steps a day. It's like, how about you just, I feel like it would be more beneficial to kind of put that to the side and maybe just start with a deficit and find out her maintenance.
Yeah. And I think to your point, this question looks like she just has put together everything that she's heard about what should equate to weight loss. 10,000 steps, we know that's a big buzzword. Oh, 1,000, 1,500 calories, that's a big buzzword. Like people default to 12 or 1,500. Right. But what is it that your body actually needs? There, another reason why she might not be losing weight, she might not be eating enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not eating enough, your metabolism is greatly affected and it might now be out of whack. And so everything that you do is just perpetuating a vicious cycle of your body not being cared for in the right way. So we just need to start from scratch and say, are you eating enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from there, now eat 500 calories less.
Mm-hmm.
What was your activity before? Now do more.
Mm-hmm. And this actually perfectly transitions it into our episode today. What are her macros looking like?
Exactly. You
know, like, we know how important protein is in a weight loss journey. I'd be curious to know what her macros were before she started her new routine versus now, or have they even changed?
Yeah, so that's actually a perfect segue for today's episode. So today we're going to talk about macronutrients and nutrition and how understanding macros can help you with your long-term fitness goals and your overall health.
Yeah, there are three.
Mm-hmm.
Proteins, carbohydrates, and fats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go ahead and get into protein.
Yeah.
I think we'd both say that's the most important one.
I would definitely say it's probably the macronutrient that I care about the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you should. We'll get into that in a second. But protein is great for a lot of things. It's most known for muscle repair and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also help with certain immune functions and the production of hormones and certain enzymes. One thing to remember about protein is it is the building blocks to burning fat.
Right.
That's why it's so important, because the more protein you eat, the more muscle you're going to build. And then that muscle just sitting on your body will burn fat over time.
Yeah.
So it really is a building block. And another interesting thing about it that I like to think about is it really makes you full.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're eating a high protein diet or meal, you'll notice how filling it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about when I have snacks that are more protein forward, I'm definitely fuller for longer than other types of snacks. So yeah, getting into the next macronutrient, we're going to talk about carbohydrates. So everyone knows about carbs. This is the body's main source of energy. It's also important for brain function, and it's crucial for physical performance, which I don't think it realized how important it is. Like, I knew that obviously it's a macro, but to know that it also helps with brain function and physical performance is a really cool thing to know.
Yeah. And this is just a little like segment off that. I even remember when I was like researching different diets and stuff, reading posts and threads where people were doing low carb diets and they were saying how they had like brain fog and couldn't think and were like lethargic. And now it kind of makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why. Like they weren't having energy.
Oh, that's so crazy. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, duh. I mean, that makes sense. If I don't have enough sleep and I'm low on energy, I have brain fog. So it's kind of the same thing.
Right.
It impacts your energy. Therefore, it impacts brain function.
Yeah. And our last one, fats. These are necessary for hormone production as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cell structure and the absorption of nutrients in the body.
Very important. All three are extremely important, and that's why they are the macronutrients, because it's essential to have all three in your diet.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to visualizing these three in your diet, we both like to think about it as a pie chart. It's split into thirds. Each person's pie chart is going to look different in regard to these macros, depending on what type of activity they're doing, what their final goal is for their fitness journey and what their body needs.
And what they prefer.
Yeah.
Like what kind of diets they like or kind of meals they eat. So just to kind of set a baseline, when people are talking about a balanced diet, like when you hear that term balanced diet, they are often talking about having a balance of course, vegetables, fruits, grains, yeah. all that,
like variety in of that food. Sense.
But they're also talking about having a balance in your macronutrients.
Right.
So a typical macronutrient breakdown is called the 40-30-30 ratio. Okay. So that means 40% of your calories are coming from carbohydrates, mm-hmm. 30% of your calories are coming from protein, and the other 30% of calories are coming from fats.
Mm-hmm.
But as Nick just said, based off of your goals, your preferences, your needs,
activity level,
those factors might change a bit.
Right.
They're not going to change drastically, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
they're going to change a little bit to fit your needs.
Yeah.
And kind of talking more about like the composition of the pie chart and how these different macros have a different percentage. Each macronutrient has a different calorie mm-hmm. value. And this value is what helps determine how many grams of each macronutrient you should eat.
Yeah.
So all macronutrients are typically measured in grams. Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking at a nutritional label, you're going to see yeah. the grams of things. Protein is 4 calories per 1 gram. Carbs are 4 calories per 1 gram. And fats are 9 calories per 1 gram. So it's more caloric to eat fats. So that's why you're typically going to have less grams of fat in your diet.
Yeah. To have like a healthier, balanced diet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now, in terms of health and fitness goals, how do the 3 macronutrients fit in?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to like break it down and make it simplified and a little bit easier. But for example, if you're an endurance trainer mm-hmm. and you're swimming a lot or you're running a lot or you're doing a lot of endurance activities, consider adding more carbs into your diet because
yeah.
you're going to need that energy and that fuel to get through those workouts. Got so it. It's a good thing to think about making carbs a priority in your diet, mm-hmm. in your pie chart
yeah.
for your macros. If you're someone who does heavy weightlifting, bodybuilding, CrossFit, mm-hmm. those kind of activities, prioritize the protein. You're yeah. going to need that protein to assist with the muscle recovery
yeah.
and will in turn create muscle growth.
Yeah. And if you're someone who's older or someone who enjoys longer steady state exercises like yoga or Pilates, consider prioritizing fats because as we talked about previously, having more fats helps with nutrient absorption. So that definitely helps as we age. Mm-hmm. But also fats provide a sustained energy. So
right.
it can help in those instances where you're doing kind of more steady state,
yeah.
lower endurance yes. activities. But it helps having more fats in your diet when you're partaking in those type of activities.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
So now that we kind of know macronutrients, mm-hmm. how they're important, how they are in the pie chart.
How they fit into health and fitness goals.
Right. So how would you say is your pie chart breakdown? Like, what are you prioritizing?
Yeah. Well, right now and for a long time, I would say my macro pie chart is very high protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do have a lot of carbs just because I need energy for cardio that I do.
Yeah.
And even weightlifting. Like I know we said, consider having more carbs if you're an endurance athlete, but you still need carbs for energy for all the heavy lifting right. too in the gym. So
and you work out like a lot. Like,
yeah.
I feel like 6 times a week.
I'm doing yeah. heavy lifts. So I definitely have Yeah, high protein, higher carb, not like super high. And then I just keep my fats low. Now, one thing about fats for me is when I was on like crazy cuts like years ago, when I was going out of my mind, my
I remember
fat
that.
was just like super low. And I mean, thinking back on it, like I could feel it. Like I was just kind of like drained and like tired a little bit, and energy was low. And I think it had something to do with that. Like I've upped my fat a little bit. I still consider myself having a low fat diet, but it's up definitely in a healthier range than it was before.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I feel like for me, I'm kind of pursuing body recomposition. So I'm in this state where I'm continuing to build muscle and lose fat. That being said, I would still consider myself to have a pretty balanced diet and definitely prioritizing protein because, like we mentioned at the start of the podcast, we both consider that essential. And it's, as Nick said, the more protein you eat, it helps build muscle, and having more muscle burns fat. So that's really just, it's really just essentially folding into my goals because that's exactly what I want to do, build muscle and lose fat. But I do find fats important, especially with being a woman and knowing that as a female, there is a certain number of grams that it is necessary for you to have fats in your diet. So I think that I have a pretty balanced diet, honestly. And I think it's reflective of my meal preferences too. You know, I'm Turkish, so I'm eating that Mediterranean diet with the olive oils and the fish and everything. So I definitely have, I would say, a pretty balanced diet. And I think that helps to not make things so complicated
I was
sometimes.
literally just gonna say, like, you have your whole thing about eat what you prefer, eat what you like, but just in terms of what you said right now, like none of this has to be that complicated. And I feel like that's what we want Make the Switch to be about, is moving from a mindset that's a little too extreme to one that's just a little bit more lax and just like back up a little bit,
And
like,
balanced.
and balanced. Like, I mean, our diets, even a few years ago, were not balanced and just crazy. I mean, remember like getting ready for one of our like trips or something. I mean, we'd be it would be like
Kicking into
calories
high
cut out,
gear.
like, yeah, kicking in high gear. I mean, it was like we were preparing for like a bodybuilding show for these
Literally,
trips we would go on.
as if we were going to be on some stage, like who's looking at us? I mean, I think that we definitely just wanted to feel confident, which is important, but what we want to really come across is that we were going extreme and we weren't doing things that I think were sustainable. I think how we've changed throughout our journey is finding, whether it be workout routines or diet changes, that are sustainable and that we enjoy because life's too short. Like, I was literally, boo, you talk about low fat, okay? I was literally eating egg whites, not even regular eggs. I was scarfing down these nasty egg whites, which, if you
Ew.
like egg whites,
Egg whites alone, that's,
no,
I
but like
can't.
every day. So then I realized that that was just nasty and I didn't enjoy my breakfast. And breakfast is my favorite meal. So I was like, why am I doing this? And so this is before I knew the importance of fats too. So then I kind of changed and I was like, all right, I'm going to do one egg, but then like 5 tablespoons of egg whites, which was a little bit better. Now I just eat the 2 eggs. Like it does, it's not the 5 grams that an egg is with, like the 5 grams of fat that an egg has is not going to make or break you. In fact, it's probably pretty healthy to have that yolk. So,
And this is like what you have to take from all this. We just shared our extremist like diet regimens from back in the day, and now they've gotten a little bit more lax. We're a little bit more removed from that, but we're happy. And I just feel like when I think about myself a few years ago, it was like, if I'm not hitting this diet style, or if I'm not hitting these calories or these macros, I'm going to be unhappy because I'm not going to get my goal. And it just was like a cycle.
Yeah, it was a cycle.
It's like thinking back on that now, like, well, I'm not really doing any of that and I'm happy.
Yeah.
And it almost disproved what I thought before.
And that is so huge. And another thing I wanted to add to that, okay, there could be, you know, conversation or arguments in, within my own brain of like, oh, you looked better now, or you looked better back then, or whatever. I feel the best I've ever felt.
Yeah.
I feel balanced in my body, in my diet, in my brain.
Yeah.
I'm just, like you said, happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm pursuing a lifestyle that's not stressing me out.
And the goals are still there and they're still being met.
Yeah.
Like, we're not being extreme anymore, but we're still where we want to be.
And I think that's why understanding nutrition is valuable, because I think we talked about in a previous podcast, while our years of tracking and being meticulous were not great, and I'm not saying that you should do that, it did help us learn about food and nutrition, where now we can have a balanced diet and still have goals. Like, we still have a rough idea of making sure we are eating enough protein and doing these different things, but we're not being extreme. So that's why we hope this episode so far is valuable, because it's important to know about macros and how it can help you and use it to your advantage, not as like a punishment, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking kind of about how we've changed, right, from 6, 10 years ago to now, let's talk about some of the long-term health benefits of macronutrients.
Yeah, so I always think about, when it comes to maintaining proper macronutrients and keeping up a healthy diet, I just think of disease prevention. Just like all the diseases there are that can be prevented by eating healthy foods. So for example, diabetes. I know that's a big one that's on the rise. Like, that can definitely be avoided. Heart disease as well. And the biggest one, probably obesity.
Right. Because if you're having a proper balance of macronutrients, we're talking about how all of these things kind of go together, and how protein is going to help with your muscle growth, and the muscle growth is helping burn fat. We're talking about how having a balance of carbs is going to help when it comes to the prevention of diabetes, because remember that sugar is a carb.
Right.
And so your body is processing it the same way.
And just sugar in general.
I feel like,
especially in America, there's like so much sugar just everywhere.
Yeah. Another thing that we want to talk about, which I'm actually really excited about this segment, or this section, I guess it could be a segment, is common myths and misconceptions. So some things that we have heard through our friends and family, or even just through life, of macro myths and misconceptions. So the first one we want to talk about is carb fear. So the myth that I can't have too many carbs.
Yeah, like, all if you carbs
think
are bad.
Carbs are bad. Like, it makes me think of like the early 2000s, and it's giving like 2000s mom, where they were like, oh, like, I can't eat a bite of pizza because of carbs.
No,
like,
pasta.
No pasta or anything. Carbs are not bad. No. As you've heard in this entire episode, carbs are necessary.
Balanced diet.
Balanced diet. Carbs are a macronutrient for a reason. Right. It is important to have carbs because it is going to give you energy and fuel your life.
And that's the thing. We've said it time and time again. Balanced diet. Carbs aren't bad. Well, yeah, they're bad if you eat nothing but them, or way over what you should be eating when it comes to carbs.
Anything in excess is probably not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
That can apply to anything.
But this is just making me think about how, you know, how you said the whole thing with the like brain fog, and you didn't realize that carbs helped with that. It also makes me think of like when I was a kid and I would watch like these movies or TV shows, or even just hear people be like, I got a carbo load before the big game. And you see like these football players eating their spaghetti dinners before the big game. I just thought that was like, oh, funny. Like that's like something people say. But it's because they're using those carbs to fuel them for their
There
endurance
is a reason
activity.
for that.
Yeah. So basically, carbs aren't bad. Get that out of your head if you think that it's important.
Another big one is fat phobia. And yeah, we both had this. And I feel like it's a common misconception. Like, all fats are bad. I mean, we just talked about how they're actually good for you.
Yeah.
But again, anything excessive is not good. But yeah, your body definitely needs those. And I mean, I even remembered it was like a study or something where they like took this group of people who were all active and worked out and ate healthy diets, but they switched up the diet. So one group ate like super low fat and the other one ate maybe like
Like normal,
moderate fat or like a little bit less than moderate. And they watched them for like a couple months or whatever it was. And then at the end of it, the like muscle growth was actually more in the moderate
moderate.
fat because they weren't they their body wasn't being deprived of something,
You know what?
you know?
That's actually really surprising to hear. But it makes sense. And if we think about what fats are good for, they're good for cell structure and they're good for nutrient absorption. So,
And honestly, like now thinking about it, that's why, I mean, that's what a bulk is. And that's definitely what a dirty bulk is when you just kind of eat whatever you want. Have you ever heard of that? A dirty bulk. A dirty bulk. So there's like a clean bulk where you are watching what you're eating, you're doing an increase from maintenance 500 up in calories, but you're making sure that things are still like aligned and not going crazy. But a dirty bulk is you're not even counting anything. You're just like going out and like gorging and eating all this stuff, and like fat is just like out the roof. But then you do the cut and then you look good because
Oh, boo. That I was on a dirty bulk last winter then. I don't even know that's what it was called, but I was eating left and right. But you know what? I noticed a lot of muscle growth in that time. Like I was looking like I was like, okay, like I see the biceps popping and stuff. Oh, I was totally doing a dirty bulk, yeah.
And I mean, I could just not, I feel like I could not do that now. Like, I would, I'm more of the clean bulk, but.
Yeah. Another kind of misconception is actually about protein and protein overload, and the idea that more protein is always better. So I know you just heard us talk about like protein, like we really want to eat protein, but there's actually studies that show eating more than 40 grams of protein in one sitting is actually not beneficial to you because your body can only break down so much. And so it's actually recommended to eat about 15 to 30 grams of protein per meal. Now, if you're thinking, oh, well, okay, that's not gonna allow me to reach my protein goal, well, that's where snacks come into play. Like, Nick, I know you eat a lot of snacks, like high protein snacks.
No, that's definitely where that comes into play because I mean it would be impossible. Like if you were to eat, oh, I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, well, that just wouldn't fit with the within the parameters. Sure, you could probably come up with some crazy high protein meals, but there it's too much protein to be broken down and used. So yeah, you definitely have to break it down. I do eat a lot of snacks because
Protein
of that reason.
shakes.
Yeah, and supplementing too. It is important to get protein from actual food,
And whole
like
foods,
meats
yeah.
and whole foods and all that, but I mean, sometimes if you're really trying to hit a high goal, it can be hard. And that's when you have to, you know, bring in the protein bars, bring in the protein shakes. And
yeah,
those are definitely not something you want to solely be relying on, but right, they do help assist with that.
Yeah, don't have 10 protein shakes every hour to hit your goal. No. Like, that's not a part of a balanced diet that you want to, because you're missing out on so many other nutrients. Right. So it's definitely better to have protein from those food sources. But, you know, I have a protein shake a day, you know, just to kind of help supplement. And it's a nice, easy snack.
Yeah, it is.
So, but I do want to say, like, if you happen to eat a meal that's really high in protein, like, don't go avoiding high protein meals. No. Like, still enjoy what you enjoy. Just don't go out of your way to fit like 80 grams of protein in one meal because you think that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And an easy way to remember this, so they actually recommend between 1 and 1.5 grams of protein per body weight. Mm-hmm. So I just always think, whatever I weigh, I eat the same amount of grams in protein. Right. And then it's just easy to remember.
It is. Yeah.
So.
And that can change depending on what your goal is. But
right. But at a minimum,
you need to be hitting that.
The amount of pounds that I weigh, I want to eat the same in grams. And, you know, like Nick mentioned earlier, if this is all kind of going over your head, meet your protein goal. And then the other macros will
can
fall.
Just kind of fall into place.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and that brings us to our last misconception or myth or question, you could say. Should we have protein before or after a workout?
Mm.
Nick?
And the answer is after.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need it for recovery.
Right.
Like, that's what protein is all about. It's not going to do you much good doing it before.
Right.
Now, if you want to have something before, don't be having a protein shake before. Have carbs before.
Yes.
Because that is going to be the fuel for your workout.
You know what's my favorite pre-workout snack?
Yeah, what do you have?
A PB&J.
Okay.
Because you're getting the carbs from, and I use like whole wheat bread. So it's a nice complex carb.
Yeah.
You're getting the carbs from the bread and like the jam, but then the peanut butter is like a tiny bit of protein, but mainly fats.
Right.
And that fats is going to help with like the sustain energy as well. So that's like my favorite pre-workout snack.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny? Mine's very similar.
Oh, really?
I do a piece of whole grain toast as well.
Mm-hmm.
I use almond butter instead.
Okay.
Just because peanut butter for me is like a little bit too like pungent.
Okay.
Like it kind of has like a, like I like peanut, but I just don't know if I could have it every day.
It's kind of in your face.
Yeah. I like how almond butter is like more mild and toned down. So I do that. Then I slice up a banana on top and I do a little drizzle of honey. So I'm also getting some fruit too.
Okay. I really love that.
Yeah. And a little bit of sugar, like the natural honey.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. I actually have done that with like toast for breakfast, but I guess that's like a good variation in the PB&J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our last thing that we just want to bring in really quick is how to figure out your macros.
Right.
And I usually just do it on a website. I go to bodybuilding.com. I feel like it's the most simple.
That's what I
use. Okay. Yeah. It's like not complicated at all. And basically, it just asks you a couple questions. It'll ask you your age, gender, height, your weight, what your goal is, and what your activity level is. And then it has this drop down of the different activity levels. And there's a handful of those, and they range from sedentary to extra active, with all the other ones in between. And you can go on and look and see what they are for yourself. But it does like detail them. So like sedentary would be little to no exercise. That would be equivalent to someone maybe working like a desk job all day. And doesn't work out and doesn't do anything after work and just sits like at home. And then extra active would be someone who's an athlete that does rigorous exercise for 6 to 7 days a week. So essentially every day of the week and has a physical job. So they're doing both. Everything else just kind of is in between. That's in between is where most people, I think, would fall.
Yeah. Like I think
who are trying to be active.
I think we both select moderately active, which is, you know, a moderate exercise 3 to 5 days a week. But I have a sedentary job and you actually,
I have an active job.
You have more of an active job, but this actually brings up a really good point. So if you are unsure of what your activity level is, and by the way, on bodybuilding.com, at the bottom, you'll see a little button that says learn which goal and activity level you should choose. If you click that, it'll have a lot more information to describe both goal and activity level. But if you are unsure what your activity level is, Nick and I always say you should underestimate what you think that you're doing. I think that we all kind of have this idea that we're more active than we actually are. And it kind of comes down to like a pride thing.
Yeah.
So if you're truly unsure or, you know, are kind of afraid to
admit.
Or
if you're like between two even.
Yeah.
Maybe just pick the one that's below. Because the last thing you want to do is pick a goal and then it's going to spit out the calories and macros you need to be eating. And then if it's even like a little bit off in any direction, I mean, that will stunt the changes. So
exactly.
And I mean, that doesn't mean progress can't happen, but it could make the progress slower. And, you know, like what's the point of delaying your progress?
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely, you know, no one's looking over your shoulder when you're filling this out. So just be honest with what you really what you really think your activity level is, because that's going to be the best outcome for giving you an accurate number for your calorie and your macro goal.
Yeah. Yeah. So after you choose the activity level, it basically will calculate all of that. And based off of what you put in, it'll tell you your pie chart of the three macros, what the ratio should be. And then it'll also tell you the calories that you should be having. And depending on what goal you chose, it'll be very different. If you chose weight loss and not active, then the pie chart ratios of the macros is going to look very different to someone who's trying to gain weight but is very active.
Right. So it's going to take into account, of course, like your body, like your age, your height, your weight and everything. But it's really also going to take into account what your goal is and your activity level to come up with that ratio and what your calories should be and your macros should be based off of your current body composition.
Yeah. I feel like this may seem very complicated if you've never done this before or even heard of any of this before, but when I thought it was complicated, I would just type my stuff in and then I would just do my own assessment based off of my maintenance.
Actually, Nick, that brings up a really good point that I almost forgot. I encourage all of you, if you go on bodybuilding.com, when you put everything in, and like Nick said, it's very straightforward, actually go ahead and calculate your maintenance first.
Right.
Because I think it's very helpful to just know what that number is of like, I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm not trying to gain weight or gain muscle. I just want to know if I want to stay the same, what am I looking at? And I think that's kind of important and good to know and then go from there.
Then go from there and change all the other things for what your goal may be.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our episode on macronutrients. We really encourage you all to take a closer look at your macronutrients and see what your intake is. But we also want to give a disclaimer that at the end of the day, we're not nutritionists. We're speaking from personal experience and what we like and don't like. But if you are wanting a very serious recommendation or just want more information, we recommend consulting a healthcare professional or a nutritionist as you need to.
Yeah, of course. And as always, we want to invite our listeners to share their experiences with us. And if y'all have any questions about macronutrient management or anything about this episode, just please DM us at Make the Switch Podcast on Instagram.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.